Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, and if you've been here before, welcome back. And if it's your first time, I'm happy to have you. Thank you so much for joining us, and I hope that you really dig this. So without further ado, let's get rolling. My guest today is an ambitious, intense, and determined entrepreneur. After college in 2015, he worked in finance for a few months before teaming up with two of his brothers to create the world's first super coffee. Today, he is the CEO at Kitu Life Inc., makers of Super Coffee and Super Creamer. Since those early days in 2015, he and his brothers have raised $18 million in venture capital. They've pitched on ABC's Shark Tank, and they've been featured in the 2019 class of Forbes 30 Under 30. Now, let's hack. Jim DeCicco. Did you know 24 million Americans, that is more than the population of Florida, want to work for themselves by 2021? Yet sadly, 35% of them cite inconsistent income as one of the biggest things holding them back. Maybe you feel that. If money's a big deterrent, would getting paid two times faster help you make the leap? Have you heard of FreshBooks? It's cloud accounting software that basically does your invoicing for you, and on top of that, it gets you paid two times faster. And yes, it's really, really easy to use because it's made for entrepreneurs like you. FreshBooks lets you create and send invoices automatically, accept credit cards and ACH payments right on those invoices, plus automate invoice payment reminders. And here's the best part. You can start 2020 off on the right foot because I'm giving my listeners, you, a free 30-day trial of FreshBooks right now. No credit card required. Go to freshbooks.com/hack and enter Hack the Entrepreneur in the How Did You Hear About Us section. Once again, that's freshbooks.com/hack. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very special guest. Jim, welcome to the show.
John, thanks for having me, brother. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. My pleasure. As a coffee fan, it's good to have you here. I guess I have to get down to the States and try some super coffee still, but I'm going to get on that shortly.
So we'll send some over the border for you.
Awesome. All right. So let's just get straight into this, Jim.
Love it.
As an entrepreneur, as a CEO, Jim, what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Yeah. And I think for me, we're in a unique position as I started this company with my two younger brothers when I was 22. And I mean, today we have a team of 75 people. And because of our age, there's no hierarchy, right? So like we're respected as the leaders, but at the same time, like we'll roll up our sleeves and stock a shelf or pour samples or make deliveries. So I think we have that chip on our shoulder as peers to our employees and teammates rather than like bosses or coaches. So I think keeping that humility and also that like willingness to roll up your sleeves and get dirty is really priceless.
Is there a negative aspect to that?
Yeah. It creates a sense of, I don't know, comfort amongst the team, right? And I think a lot of times there's an overlap between friendship and a professional relationship, because sometimes with my role, I do have to come down on folks and I do have to be the boss. And we do have to make sure that we're hitting our goals and people are performing and doing what they say they're supposed to be doing. But if the culture becomes too loose and we're just a bunch of friends having a good time, it does make it difficult to have some of those performance-based conversations.
Right. That's what I would definitely think. So you guys are, it's about 2.5-3 years into the company now?
This is our fourth year now.
Fourth year. Yes, 2015, and it's 2020 in a few days. That absolutely makes sense. So team of 75 people, if I read this correct, you spent a few months after graduating in finance before becoming the CEO of this company that started off as just three of you and is now 75 just a few years later. How do you, Jim, keep yourself, like personally as a human, how do you stay evolving fast enough to still keep in front of a company like this that's already growing this fast and you don't want to get sort of run over by it?
Totally. And I mean, the good news is like our naivety is bliss here because we're not burdened by past companies. We don't have any bad habits or biases from other cultures that we come from. So we're building the ship as we're flying it, really. And for me, it's like we learn something new every day. And it's interesting because there's levels to this where I always equate like each year to like as soon as I start feeling confident, almost like a senior in high school, like a little swagger on campus, immediately you're a freshman in college again. And the levels are you hire your first employee and shit changes, or you raise your Series A and a lot of things change, or your team grows from 15 to 75 in a year. And then you're like breathing fresh air again and the imposter syndrome comes out and like all of these things. So I think with levels, it's kind of like we keep ourselves uncomfortable, which forces us to grow. Otherwise, you die.
Right, exactly. As a company and as a person or people leading this company, do you bring in like coaches or consultants to help you with this growth, like personal growth to stay ahead of this? Or is it just investors and advisors?
So we've been very fortunate to lean on our investors and our advisors. And I think we use our age to our advantage in that regard. Everybody loves to talk about what they know and share what they know. So we always position ourselves as the players and we've been able to find really good coaches. But as a company, we've brought in a couple unique coaches for professional development for all of our employees. We do have a young team. Our average age is 29. I mean, we have folks in their 50s and we have folks in their 20s. So with that, we have an ethicist. I was a philosophy major in college and I actually hired my philosophy professor to come in and make sure we're focused on building an ethical culture with values first, rather than putting stuff on the wall and talking about it. Like we got to be about it and live it. We have a member of the Navy SEALs on contract that we work with on a monthly basis as it relates to leadership and communication and building a team. And then twice a year, we host a full company offsite or retreat where we'll bring in entrepreneurs, investors, we'll interview them, we'll ask them questions, that type of thing. So this year we had Julie Rice from SoulCycle and Seth Goldman from Honest Tea.
Wow. Is the entrepreneurial sort of like mindset and that way of being, is this something you try and nourish within your team as well?
Yeah. I think evolution is key, right? Because there's no playbook here. There's no right way to build a business, especially in beverage. The entire landscape of the industry is changing. And I mean, one of our board members used to be the CFO of BAI, B-A-I. Remember them, like the antioxidant waters? Yeah. So, and super successful. They sold to Dr. Pepper for $1.7 billion in 2016. And that was just but a couple of years ago. And the game has changed. The landscape has changed. So for us, our team constantly needs to be evolving and trying new things because what worked 3 or 4 years ago doesn't necessarily work today. And the only way you figure that out is like through pressure, fire by trial, that type of thing, or trial by fire, and just being out there, being in the field. And I mean, our philosophy is work hard and be nice to people. And I think if we continue to do those things, we'll find the next solution.
Work hard and be nice to people.
it's a simple strategy.
Yeah, totally. So three brothers, almost 5 years ago, you had graduated and you had started a career when you decided to join your two brothers doing this. Why or how was this pitched to you that we're going to start a coffee company, you should quit your job and you should join us?
Yeah. I wish it was that simple. So my brothers and I were all college athletes. I'm the oldest. Me and the middle brother played football in college and our youngest brother, Jordan, played basketball. And he didn't want the sugary bottled coffees. Like this dude had 5 a.m. basketball practice. He was in the library late at night. He wasn't a great student. And in 2015, he had just finished his freshman year, full scholarship basketball player, starting point guard, all conference kid. And this is his personality was so obsessive that like he would skip high school to go shoot free throws at the YMCA. We all thought he was going to work until he was the next Steve Nash and find his way to the NBA. But he was falling asleep in class. So he started making this coffee for himself with protein, zero sugar, MCT oil for energy. And that summer, I was 3 months into my job in finance. And Jordan called me and said, hey man, I'm dropping out of school to start this coffee company. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? Right? Like, get your ass back in class. Like, basketball tryouts start in a week or practice starts in a week. Like, get back there. And he was like, no, this is a big opportunity. The product works for me. It works for my classmates. It's a $2 billion industry. And the Starbucks Frappuccino, which has 40 grams of sugar and 300 calories, is controlling the entire thing. So for me, it's like, if I can't build this company if I'm a full-time student athlete. And that's all I needed to hear. He didn't ask me to join him. He sort of gave me a courtesy call as his older brother and was like, look, dude, this is what I'm doing. And for me, I was like, shit, I can't let you do this alone. And the middle brother, Jake, was a senior at Georgetown at the time. And he didn't drop out. He helped us. He helped us while he was finishing up as a football player. And I mean, the rest is history. We figured it out from there.
But did he, like, he had the product, or did he have like Jordan, your brother, when he came up with this, was this just product? I have this great idea. This is something I've done myself. Or was it, here's some market research, why I think it will work?
A little bit of both. And so,
okay, so he did that. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, rewind to the spring of that year. He was finishing his second semester of college. He was making the product for himself and his classmates. And he told Jake about it. And Georgetown, Jake was at Georgetown at the time. Business school, the Georgetown Business School had like a startup incubator for students with ideas. So Jake and Jordan got into that with this idea of Super Coffee. They worked on it throughout the summer, put together a business plan, incorporated the company and had a recipe, but like no factory, no distributors, no place to sell it to. And that's what he came to me with. And then, I mean, we figured out, we got into one Whole Foods, then two Whole Foods, making deliveries ourselves, making product by hand. And I mean, we figured it out from there.
So co-founders are supposed to be almost polar opposite of each other. So you all do and have different strengths. Is this something that naturally occurs within the three of you?
I think so. Like, we didn't realize it until we started working on the business together, because on paper, growing up, we were very similar. Jake and I played football together our whole lives. Jordan, like, we grew up in the backyard on vacations together. Like, we're super close in age. Today, I'm 27. Jake's 26. Jordan's 24. So super close, same background. But after that first full year of working together, we sort of fell into our niche, and it worked out so perfectly because our skills are so complementary, and each niche that, like, each skill that we bring to the business is what the business most desperately needed. And what I mean is, like, I'm investors and marketing. So I would go raise money and do networking and get some PR out there. Jake was sales. We needed to sell coffee. That was the most important piece. And Jordan is operations and now people operations as well. So Jordan would create the products. He'd make sure they were manufactured on time, make sure the quality was great. Jake would go sell them. And I'd make sure we had the money and the structure to make sure that this thing could be a business.
Okay. So now that we know what your sort of one thing is that has brought you to where you are at this point, Jim, can you tell me, as the CEO of this company, can you tell me something that you are within your business just absolutely not good at?
Yeah, it's funny, man. I'm not good at numbers, and I'm not good at, believe it or not, finances. Like, we have a really good CFO, 50 years old, has been in the industry a while, but like, I'm not the CEO that's checking the balance sheet every month, and I'm not managing the income statements. And if our investors are listening to this, they're probably like kicking themselves. Like, what the hell? Who did I invest in?
You said you were doing that.
Yeah, right, right. And for me, we're growing so fast that, like, my whole thing is the team. If we can have a highly motivated team that feels safe and loved and challenged every single day, that the balance sheet will figure itself out. Look, I'll always have a key on if we're running out of money, or I'll have my finger on top of, like, when we need to raise a new round or get a loan or something like that. And I'll go out and make that happen. But our CFO sort of makes sure that the ship runs. We have a great VP of finance as well. So yeah, I mean, I'm not a numbers person or a finance person.
Wow. You were the guy working in finance.
Yeah, believe it or not. I mean, that's the beauty of a liberal arts degree. You can sort of do whatever you want after that.
That's true. That's true. I mean, so now with 75 employees, having a CFO, it makes sense. But was this something that was, like, on your plate? Like, Jim, you have to take care of the numbers because that's just what you're good at right now.
Totally. Yeah. And it's funny because my senior spring of college, I took an intro to accounting class because it was supposed to be an easy A. And I was like, oh, I'm never going to need this shit. So let me just float my way through. And sure enough, 6 months later, I'm figuring out QuickBooks on how to send invoices. And look, our whole philosophy since day one is, like, take action. And in order to be a good business, you have to sell a lot of product, right? Like we needed to be the best selling bottle of coffee in every account that we were in, because an idea is just that, but like you need to bring that idea to life. So I always tell people, don't get caught up in a perfect business plan. Don't worry about perfect legal docs in the beginning or perfect accounting. Like I take it back on the legal docs, like get a good lawyer. But like for us, our books were a mess. Like our insurance was a mess. We didn't have covers. There was a lot of liabilities, but we sold a ton of coffee, right? I would hate to be the brand that had perfect accounting, great legal, beautiful branding, and zero sales, because that's not a valuable business.
No, and that's a lot of businesses. How they start. Right. You're right. Like you need the legal, you need to cover certain things, but at the same time, once you have the sales, you can figure that other stuff out. Don't have time to figure stuff out if you don't have sales.
Totally. The one thing I will say is like in the early days, we had these gray haired lawyers advising us for free saying, do this right the first time because you're going to regret it in the future. And we sort of rolled our eyes. We're like, they don't know what they're talking about, right? Like we're going to go sell coffee. We're going to make this right. And little things like distribution agreements and employee contracts and equity arrangements all came back to bite us in the ass because we didn't do it the right way up front. And it was like, looking back on it, we wanted to save $1,000 here or there. But like it's cost us sometimes hundreds of thousands in battling it now than if we just did it right the first time. So definitely make that investment. Don't skimp out on the right legal dollars.
Right. And in the beverage company though, like there's a lot of startups to come out of college and you come up with like a software idea. And it's like, if we work in the garage for 3 months, put our heads down, we can code this, we can design it ourselves, and then put it out and hopefully start getting some customers and then use that money. You're creating a beverage. So my guess is you can't just go out and start selling the idea of this beverage to stores without actually having this beverage. So there must have been some money and then some product design and development involved at the beginning.
Totally. So and very scrappy. So we didn't come from money. Like our mom worked at the YMCA. Our dad worked for the county and our aunt had some money saved up. So she gave us a check for $30,000 in the first year. And we used it to buy bottles and coffee and protein and mix it up. And the product that we took to market was awful. And we thought it was great and we sold a lot of it, but the label was pathetic. It didn't taste great. Like it was very, very bad, but we sort of willed this thing into existence. And we took that $30,000 and we turned it into sales. We raised more money. We improved the product. We improved the label. We turned it into more sales, raised more money. And that was sort of the cycle for the first 3 years of this. And then about a year ago, we raised a big Series A. And now we're sort of getting closer to the perfect packaging, the perfect label. I mean, we'll always be evolving and improving, but it's always been an iterative evolution.
Right. How did you guys go about getting first customers?
So we showed up to Whole Foods one day. It's a hilarious story. Like Jordan, we went to Whole Foods, we bought a case of Honest Tea and we bring it home. We dump it out. We peel off the labels and we fill it up with Jordan's dorm room super coffee, protein, MCT oil, zero sugar. We print out sticky labels at FedEx and we go back to that same Whole Foods. And remember, this was 2015. So Amazon wasn't involved then. Whole Foods had a little bit more leniency. And we're like, hey man, we found the grocery manager. We're like, hey man, this is super coffee and you guys don't have anything like this. And he was like, oh shit, I like you guys. Like, let's take it. I'll take 8 cases. Let's see how it does. And we're like, oh my God, how are we gonna make 8 cases of this stuff? sure enough, we got into one store. We found a culinary kitchen that allowed us to use some space and we made the product. And what we did was we basically poured samples on that first Sunday we made a delivery until we sold out, until we were the best selling coffee in that store. And we did that for about a month. And then we took that data to the next Whole Foods down the street. And we said, hey man, look at what we're doing down the street. You guys should try us. And we did that for about a year and a half. We got into about 50 accounts from DC to Baltimore. And that allowed us to raise money, get into a better facility, get distribution and scale from there.
So the amount of hurdles you just overcome in that like 2 minute statement that would have stopped 99.9% of the people with an idea like this.
Yeah.
Like, how do we get into Whole Foods? I don't know. I guess we just can't do it. Okay. Now they want it. Now, how do we create it? I don't know. We don't have a kitchen. Like you just, was there times where like one of the three of you at least was just like, I don't think we can do this, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was usually me. Like Jake and Jordan were like the happy-go-lucky visionaries. I always say that I am the how to their why. And I mean, it's really a discouraging industry to get involved with because a retailer like Whole Foods won't carry you unless you have a distributor, but a distributor wouldn't carry you unless you had retailers to sell to, and a factory won't carry you unless you meet their minimum run sizes. And without distributors and retailers, you have no minimum runs. So for us, it's like, fuck, man, let's just make the stuff, let's make the deliveries, and let's sell it in by ourselves. And I mean, the way we got started is not the right, I mean, it's not for everybody. We were three kids with no mortgage, no girlfriends, no wives. And we're like, let's pour our hearts into this thing and will it into existence.
Wow. I love it. All right, Jim, let's move into what I call projects, quote unquote. This is a loose term. So this can be a marketing project. This can be a new product you guys want to get into. But I'd love to know, you as the CEO of this company that's growing rapidly with 75 on your team now, how do you nourish this amongst your team? But how do you guys, and this can be just a gut process or a written process, but how do you sift through all of the ideas of things that you can execute on and decide that this project is not only worth yours, but your team's time, energy, and resources?
Totally. No, it's a great point. And for us, it comes down to discipline. Our strategy from day one was literally inch wide, mile deep, meaning let's get into one store and then the next store closest to that and the next store closest to that and build out this geography very locally from a neighborhood to a county to a city to a state to a region. And for 3 years, we were only carried from DC to Boston, and we owned that Northeast. And we had opportunities to sell in California and Chicago and Florida, but we said no because we didn't have the resources to support it. And I think a lot of brands' fatal decision is let's go too big too fast. So for us, we always stayed disciplined, and partially due to lack of resources and partially due to building out a local brand. And then from there, when we think of innovation, it always needs to be complementary to what we do and not outside of our strategy and not cannibalizing. So for instance, like we started with bottled super coffee, and then our next product was super creamer. And super creamer is, it's just protein, MCT oil, zero caffeine. You add it to your hot coffee or your tea or whatever, lives in a different part of the store, still true to our mission of providing healthy, positive energy. And it speaks to a different consumer. And then when we think about flavors, like, sure, we could get wild and add like mushrooms and ashwagandha and all this stuff, but like we want to appeal to the masses. So we looked at general data of what are the best-selling creamer flavors that Coffee Mate and International Delight have. And back then it was original, vanilla, and hazelnut. So the first three flavors we launched were original, vanilla, and hazelnut. And then we expand from there. But a lot of this stuff like is very true, and some of it sometimes it's boring. Like creamer's not a sexy category, but it's ripe for disruption. And that's where we focus our projects and our effort.
So your innovation needs to be complementary. And then the thinking is always that inch wide, mile deep.
Yep.
When did you guys decide to get into e-commerce?
Back in 2016, we launched into e-com. We had a shelf-stable item, and we really didn't figure e-commerce out until the second half of 2018. So we were sold online for 2 years before we really knew what we were doing. And this year, 2019, was really our coming out party. We figured, we hired a great director of e-commerce, to the prodigy, 23 years old. And he's really figured out media buying and Facebook and Instagram ads. Our email marketing has gotten really tight over this year. Amazon's working. I mean, it's not the easiest thing in the world to sell beverages online. So it has definitely been a trial and error process, but we feel pretty good about where we're at right now.
I love it. All right. So we've talked about super coffee throughout this, Jim, and it's been a fascinating conversation, but now you've got people listening. You've piqued their interest. Can you now pitch them your product and tell them where they can find it?
Yeah. So very simply, super coffee is organic coffee. There's 2 cups of coffee in every bottle. We have 10 grams of protein and zero sugar. And we do fortify it with things like MCT oil. It's just a healthy fat from coconuts. Our bodies burn it for fuel. So if you're on the keto diet, super coffee's for you. If you're diabetic, super coffee's for you. We're $2.99. We're chasing Starbucks and Dunkin' on the shelf. Our goal is if we can change your energy, we believe that you can change your world. So pick it up at your local grocery store, at Amazon, drinksupercoffee.com. Let's see if you can change your energy.
Awesome. So most stores or lots of stores across America, Amazon and drinksupercoffee.com is the site. Jim himself is on LinkedIn. He's on Twitter and they're on all the social medias. I'll link to all of those in the show notes for you, so it's easy for you to find and track down. So whenever you're done walking, jogging, working out and you need some super coffee, you can find it over at the site. Jim, once again, man, thanks so much for stopping by. Thanks for sharing so openly. I truly, truly appreciate it. And I don't know, man, just keep doing what you're doing because it's totally awesome to watch.
John, this is awesome, man. Thanks for letting me share my story. And like I said, we'll smuggle some super coffee over the border for you.
All right. That was a lot of fun. Go an inch wide and a mile deep. Absolutely, absolutely love that. So if you were intrigued by what Jim and his brothers have created with this super coffee and this super creamer, we discussed on the show how it's e-commerce. You can buy it right from their site if you don't want to go out to a store. And if you do go to their site, Jim decided to offer you a discount to try out their product. If you would like, you can get 30% off by just when you go to buy, if you put in the coupon code SUPERHACK, one word. This is not an affiliate link in any way. This is just me getting you a deal if that's what you are looking for. Go try out Super Coffee and Super Creamer. I know I have now, and it's excellent. And use coupon code SUPERHACK, one word, and you will get 30% off. So I hope you enjoyed that as much as I enjoyed being part of it. And I do hope that you decide to come back, whether you've been here before or this is your first time. Come on back. We're here every week, and we got a lot of cool, interesting guests and conversations coming up with you for this year of 2020. It's been an absolute blast. If you want to see more from us, go to hacktheentrepreneur.com. You can get onto the email list. You can read the blog if you wish. You can even grab my book for free if that's what you'd like to do. But yeah, we'd love to have you around. And until next time, please keep hacking the entrepreneur.